money and markets, the economy, there's a lot going on in the economy, and if you read the news, you hear and see a lot about the economy. It's interesting. I continue to get just hundreds of emails every week about the things that are going wrong and really predicting an immediate collapse of the economy. And I want to break, there are three things happening at once, and I want to break them down for you and make sure you're looking at this correctly. There are three things going on. One is we're seeing a breakdown of trust as the systems change and cash flows in the old economy shrink. But literally, we're watching the birthing of a new economy and the breaking down of an old economy. And the birthing of the new is not just the pro-centralization team being evil, although certainly that's going on. But you're also seeing enormous creative destruction that comes from globalization and the birthing of new economies from that, as well as changes in technology. And, of course, they're interrelated because a lot of the globalization was anticipating or made possible by the new technology. I just saw there's a new company called Airbnb. I put a video by one of the founders up on the blog this week. They just raised $100 million that implies a valuation of $1 billion. This is a group of entrepreneurs who realized that they were going to get thrown out of the apartment if they didn't find a way to make their rent. And so they started, they put up a website and started renting an Airbed mattress in their living room. And it went from there. And literally you can travel all over the world finding rooms to rent in other people's houses or whole apartments and even chateaus and Lord knows what. Somebody rented their tent in the line. You know, they put up a tent to be first in line to get the new iPhone and rented a space in their tent. It's quite phenomenal, but to think that it is now very quickly at a valuation in the marketplace of $1 billion is quite extraordinary and speaks to the kind of creative destruction, because that $1 billion of valuation is valuation lost to a whole world of hotels and motels because the model's changing. I also put up a video on collaborative consumption about and like Airbnb, all sorts of different ways of consumers sharing materials. One of the famous examples, of course, is Zipcar, but you'll see lots of other examples in it. And again, it's part of the creative destruction that happens when you get a billion plus people on pads and smartphones and suddenly having amazing computing power. With that in mind, we're working here at the Solera Report on an app, which we hope to have later this year, to make it easier for you to access the Solera Report from a phone or pad. Certainly the world is going that way. So part of what's happening in the economy is creative destruction, and it's making life very, very hard for the old models and the old corporations and the old governments. And yet there's a lot exciting and new that's happening. I mentioned we're trying to get Kickstarter on. We're scheduled for April. But that's an example of an organization like Airbnb or some of the collaborative consumption companies that's growing gangbusters. So we've got the creative destruction. We've got a recession. Part of that recession is not just a natural cycle recession. It's a post-bubble recession, and I think part of the housing bubble and other bubbles were in anticipation of seeing where the creative destruction was going to take us, and a variety of players trying to get the, as much money out of the old model as they could to position themselves for the new model. As those things happen, you're watching an enormous breakdown of trust. And, of course, trust is critical for an economy to go. That's part of why we're talking about living in faith tonight. How do we rebuild that trust? So these three things are interrelated, but they're all three happening at once. And it's a mistake to assume that it's all just a breakdown of trust or it's all just fraud, because the creative destruction and the globalization is very, very powerful. And it's very, very powerful, too, because you see many people predicting hyperinflation. We are inflating the money supply at hyperinflation rates, but we're also watching labor devaluation as a result of globalization and enormous deflation as a result of this kind of creative destruction. And that deflation to date has been in part used to set off the monetary inflation, and that's in part what the slow burn that I always talk about is about. more on European workouts. It's sort of what my stepmother used to call the endless agony. She was the earth comes again, the endless agony. And it's particularly disturbing. I put up a post from Zero Hedge on the blog talking about some of the provisions that the ECB has now put into the sovereign debt workouts. And you're literally watching creditors' rights being swept away in a way that is pretty lawless and very much of concern, but it's sort of the nature of the ongoing reengineering. Greece, as I said last week or 2 weeks ago, is choking on the inability to do evaluation. One of their challenges, and it's a challenge we face here, it's more subtle, but it's coming this way, which is how do we transact on Main Street when we don't have a currency we can use? I talked to Franklin Sanders today. He just got back from Nashville where he was testifying, trying to get the state to stop charging a sales tax on sales of gold and silver. It is one of the things, there are many states that do not have a sales tax on precious metals, but there are some that do, and it's one of the things that's really standing in the way of creating an alternative liquidity important. We had Ron Paul grilling Pernicki yesterday and basically held up a silver coin and started to ask about why the obstacle standing in the way of using this for liquidity and the importance of doing so. We saw precious metals take quite a trouncing yesterday but then bounce back. It did look like a manipulation. I used to have a partner at Dillon Reed who'd say, markets go up and down. The same thing is true of manipulated markets. So it doesn't mean much except they were able to bring precious metals down before the year end or the monthly numbers were calculated. John Williams from ShadowStats has a great new report on hyperinflation. It's Hyperinflation 2012. It's got a lot of good statistics. It focuses a portion of the report on this problem of where do you get currency to transact with on Main Street given what's happening to the currency system and the sneaking up of inflation. He is now showing consumer inflation at 10%. Ouch. So depending on how he calculates, it's at 6 to 10%, and that's part of the pain that people are feeling. The WebPOT program is now saying that we're going to have a real unwinding in March. I don't agree. March, however, is going to be a difficult time. We're coming into the season when the corporations have to pay their taxes on March 15th, and big SEC filings are due for those who have a corporate calendar year. It's going to be very, very painful. We're going to be talking about small business and how to rebuild the local economy. It's the appropriate time to do it. There's a lot more interest. I spoke about that up in the Rogue Valley in Oregon and then to a group in Emeryville, and we've got a ton of questions and some real sustainable interest, so we'll see what happens. But it's one of the reasons we've now scheduled Joe Mizak of Bloomberg. He's just got a new book out on, in my opinion, the best financial markets reporter on municipal bonds. And I think more and more people have a lot of questions about what all these changes are going to mean for the credit quality of their municipal bonds, because you have not only the economic changes, but the changes in the bond markets and U.S. deficits. We see Wyoming legislators coming up with a plan for meltdown. I described that on the blog. That post is on the blog, but it kind of makes you wonder, if you're holding any Wyoming municipal bonds, should you continue to do so?